He hath given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I said, today is the feast of the flight into Egypt. And for those of you that might be here at tomorrow's Mass, tomorrow's the feast of Saint Bernadette. And so we will. There's a proper Mass as well for her that can be found in the back of some of your missals. And that will be tomorrow's feast. But today we're concerned about that great mystery in our Lord's life, as well as the angels. You know the history of the flight into Egypt. Soon after the Magi, the three wise men left the nativity scene, the Christmas scene. An angel of God came and appeared to Saint Joseph while he was sleeping and warned him, "Take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Stay there until I call you out of Egypt." And so instantly, imagine Our Lady's heart aching. When she saw the three Magi, she was filled with joy. And almost immediately after that, the angel appears to Joseph and tells her that the first persecution ever waged against our blessed Lord in his physical body or his mystical body, the church, the first of hundreds, if not more, of persecutions against him was about to be waged against him. And so all of that joy of the Christmas day was turned into bitter sorrow for Our Lady. Herod, at this point, he was already getting to be an older man, and he was known for having guarded his throne very jealously. He had already assassinated several of his sons and several other people whom he considered to be a threat to his throne. And so you see that he was already a great danger to the Christ child. And so when the Magi came, and they lost sight of that star, the star of Bethlehem, and they came by and asked the king, Herod, "Where is this child who was born, the king of the Jews?" All that jealousy came back to the soul, the heart of Herod, and he sought the child. He sought to put him to death, because this king of the Jews, our Lord, he considered to be a threat, and he wanted to snuff out the life of this child. And the angels came again and warned the three Magi to go back by another way. And you know the rest of the story. King Herod became upset because they didn't come back. And so then Herod sent out a message that all the male children, 2 years age, 2 years old, more or less, should be put to death. And they were. But God's plan was not to be undone. Remember, God's plan was to redeem the human race. Herod was not going to extinguish the Redeemer prematurely. But God would not work a visible miracle in this case. Yes, he did send the angel to Saint Joseph, but he would use very simple methods to keep his plan intact. He would use people that were faithful to his grace. We think of Mary and Joseph. And that's often how God works, right? Whenever we're in trouble for something, God doesn't work miracles for us. He just uses other people to help us through whatever the problem is. And Saint Joseph, he acted with perfect docility. Now, here's some interesting facts I learned when I was reading up on this feast. There were two main roads that led from where Mary and Joseph were to Egypt. There were two main roads. The easier road was also the one that was, of course, more traveled, and it passed. Go home and look at a map, and you can see all the modern day maps, and you can. It's interesting because you can even go on Google Images. You can look up the city of Bethlehem or whatever biblical place you want to see, and you can imagine our Lord in that place. But in any case, the easier road and the more traveled road passed through Gaza, where all the problems are today, of course, and then ran south along the Mediterranean coast. And the other road was less traveled. Therefore, in the case of the Holy Family, it was a more prudent road to take because everyone was out to find this child, to put him to death. So they took the less traveled road, but it passed through Hebron and Beersheba and then crossed into the what they call the Idumean Desert. Now, in either case, this journey was several hundred miles, and it would have taken them 10 to 14 days to arrive to Egypt. And also I read that Plutarch, he was a historian who wrote in about 155 BC, before Christ, and he wrote that the Roman soldiers, imagine how mighty and powerful they were, the Roman soldiers made that same trip that the Holy Family would have made into Egypt because they were fighting battles in Egypt. And Plutarch wrote that the Roman soldiers who passed through that way were more afraid of the difficulties that they would face in the desert and all of the dangers than they were of the coming battles. And that shows how dangerous the trip was that the Holy Family took. And yet they took nobody with them, no family, no friends, no relatives, and they went into the land of the Gentiles, strangers, pagans. And there they stayed until the angel called them. But they did have their angels with them, guarding them. Now, in the life of our Lord, we often hear about how the angels protected him, or just in his life. You think of the Nativity, or rather the Incarnation. It was the angel Gabriel who came to announce the coming Messiah. Then on the feast, on the first Christmas night, it was the angels who came and sang the Gloria in Excelsis. And when our Lord had finished his fasting of 40 days and 40 nights, angels came and ministered to him. And just last week, we had the feast of the prayer of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, let this chalice pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And what do we read? An angel, it was either St. Gabriel or St. Michael, there's a dispute as to who it was, but in any case, an angel appeared to him and showed him the chalice that he was to drink. Now, this angel actually did console our blessed Lord. Think of that just for a moment. Let that thought sink in. God, who is the consoler of the human race, allowed himself to be consoled by one of his creatures, and actually to be consoled. And so our Lord, remember the whole scene. We change from Egypt to now Gethsemane, but bear with me. Imagine the scene. Our Lord is there prostrate, and he's praying. He's trembling. He's trembling for fear. He sees all the sins of the world. He sees all the sufferings perfectly. He sees them all that will come to him. He sees them just before his eyes. He's trembling, and he's afraid, and he's sweating, and he's praying, Father, take this chalice away from me. And then he gets up from his prayer, and he interrupts it several times, and he goes to his friends, the apostles, Peter, James, and John, to look for some consolation, and finds them each time sleeping. And then he goes back to prayer. But when the angel finally comes, the angel shows him the chalice. He doesn't console him in the sense of, we'll take this load from you. I'll take this chalice away. But no, he helps our Lord to see the chalice, the cross, from another angle. He works on our Lord's will. Our Lord allows all this to happen to his will. The angel presents to him many different ways of looking at the cross. How if our Lord continued to pray that this cross be removed from him, how many thousands and millions of souls would be lost. And how God's glory would not be given, as he wouldn't be given as much glory if the chalice were taken away, and that it was his job to do his Father's will. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And all of these things the angel presented to our Lord's will, until finally what happened? This is what consolation is. It isn't a bunch of good feelings and all of that. Consolation is strength. So what is it? After the angel shows him all of these things, what happens? Our Lord, he fights against his fear, and he fights so violently that he begins to sweat blood. And then he rises up bravely, and he goes to his apostles, this time not to look for consolation or comfort, this time to tell him, the enemy is here, let us go meet the enemy. He goes out and meets Judas and the army that was with him, and thus begins our Lord's passion. But you see how the angels, they consoled our Lord, and they do the same for us. Every day, they whisper things to us. We've got to be listening. And so whatever it is, remember, it's the angels. They're presenting to us God's will, God's will. We've always got to remember that. And every day then, be faithful to devotion to your guardian angel, because it's a wonderful devotion, and your angels will certainly lead you to heaven and guard you all along the way, just as they did the Holy Family into Egypt, just as they did our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.